your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 40. If you remember, we've been in Genesis for quite a long time now, and hopefully you've learned something about God's Word and God's people and how God's shaping and forming people. We were introduced to a character a few weeks back in chapter 37 named Joseph. Joseph was the young man, the coat of many colors. He's had a lot of great times in his life and a lot of bad times in his life. Matter of fact, last week we saw how he was sold into Egypt. He worked his way up in Potiphar's house and was doing quite well. And then somebody lied about him, accused him of some horrible things, and he was thrown into prison. And so we find again this chapter, in chapter 40, that he is again working his way back up. And I think he begins to see now the plan of God begin to work in his life. And so that's my hope for us, as we recognize different people in the Bible, that we can see ourselves and that God has a plan for us as well, and that God wants to transform us to be a people that love Him and love others. So let me read to you out of the book of Genesis chapter 40. It says that it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward of the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in among them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of this Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sad today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong unto God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said unto him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was though it budded, and the blossoms shot forth, and the cluster thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and took the grapes, and pressed them in Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it, three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and deliverance, that gives us guidance and direction, that causes us to see that we don't have anything to despair of, but that you give us great joy when we follow your word. So, Lord, today I pray that you would make known your plans for our lives, that we would follow that with all of our heart, and that would be your people for all times. So, Lord, bless your word, and thank you for the promise that when your word is read, you'll not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. I heard about a preacher talk to a man that recently lost his wife for many years, and the man was saying, "We had 35 happily married years." The preacher said, "That's pretty good." He said, "Yeah, that's not too bad out of 50. Sometimes in life you have some ups, and sometimes in life you have some downs. Sometimes you have good days, and sometimes you have bad days. And I think we recognize that in Joseph's life, he had a lot of good days and a lot of bad. But I want you to recognize that God has a plan for Joseph. God has a plan to help him and bless him and keep him. Maybe not as Joseph envisioned, but God's plan was so much better. Isn't it great that God can look ahead and see things, and not just look ahead and see things, but has the power and the ability to shape things and form things in such a way that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so today I want to look at Joseph's life and some of the things that happened to him, and then really look at our life and see how God orchestrates things in ours as well. Notice first the divine problems of Joseph. We learned in chapters 37 and 39 that Joseph's life was ups and downs, great hardships and great blessings. And we said last week in chapter 39 and made the statement that life is not fair. It would not seem fair for Joseph that tried to live a good life. If you remember, the previous characters in the Bible all had kind of spotty lives in one sense. Jacob was a man that was a deceiver. And maybe you could say Abraham was a great guy, but there was times that Abraham lied about different things. And so we find that sometimes God works through those things, but Joseph seems to be a great guy, on the up and up, trying to do those things, but we recognize that he still had problems. Here's what I want you to see. First, there's the placement of the problems. The placement of the problems. Verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, "And it came to pass after these things." I want you to understand that God blessed Joseph and that God brings great blessings in our lives. But know this, when God blesses, Satan messes. That's an old saying. And I want you to understand these things because maybe you're here today and you have some heartache or some issues or some troubles. I just want you to see your whole life, not just a few little snapshots. Notice first, you can see Joseph was blessed by his father Jacob with a coat of many colors. When you go back to chapter 37, he was a child of his old age, and so he was like a grandfather almost, and blessed him among all of his children, gave him that coat of many colors, but it caused a great problem. His brother saw that, recognized that Abraham or Jacob, I'm getting confused there. His father loved him more than the rest of them. Jacob loved him more than the rest of them. And so they were angry with him. Secondly, Joseph was blessed by God to have dreams and the interpretations thereof. But his brothers read that, and his father heard that, and his father now rebukes them. And so he is rebuked by his father, which is a big problem. Joseph also blessed to end up, as he was sold into slavery, to work for Potiphar, one of the great guys in Egypt. And so that was a great blessing. But now we find, because he's blessed and has risen to the very top there, somebody lies about him, and he is thrown in another prison. Even this job, where he is in the correctional system, he moves his way up, only to be forgotten. Here's what I'm trying to say, that when you have a great blessing in your life, just know that sometimes hardships will follow. But it's okay. God has it under control. And so we should recognize and understand all the things that God has blessed us with so we can endure those hardships in our life. Psalm 66, verse 16 says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul." Psalm 66, 12 says, "Thou hast caused me to for men to ride over our heads, and we went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a abundant place." And so, I'm just saying, we all have issues, but recognize that God will get us through those issues. Somebody said this, "When life upon life's billows, you are tempted to toss. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Do you have troubles today? Recognize your life is full, yes, with troubles, but you've had some great times too. Focus on not just the negative, but the positive. Problems will come many times, but the Lord's blessings are always there as well. And so not only the placement of the problems, but now the policy to deal with the problems. And so I've already mentioned that, yes, we will have troubles, but how do you deal with the troubles in life? Again, it's not just good to react to them, but recognize that maybe God's using them for good. When you read chapter 40, verses 2 and 4, we'll find that that the chief butler and the chief baker were cast into prison along with Joseph. And we're going to find that Joseph was charged to take care of them. And so we recognize that many times Joseph could have said, "I don't have time to mess with these guys. I don't have time to deal with their problems. I've got enough problems of my own." And so I want you to understand that we must deal not just with our problems, but if we really want to have a blessed life, deal also with the problems of those around us. And so the question is, how do you deal with unmet expectations? Do you pout? Do you get mad? Do you quit? How do you handle things when it does not go according to your plan? Let me say again, you will always have troubles and trials, but how do you deal with them? Jesus said this in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken to you, that you may have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And so we recognize problems will be there, but we must let Christ work in us to overcome these things. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Contentment is what Christ desires in our life. Contentment is a neat word. It means I have enough or I am sufficient. And so we recognize that in our troubles, if we will deal with those and understand that Christ has first blessed us and is now going to get us through this, we will be content. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned," let me say that again, "for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He goes on to say, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound." where in all things I'm instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Joseph had learned by experience to trust in the Lord and to be satisfied in his present state. And so we recognize that God uses circumstances to shape us who we are. And again, you may be here, I'm going to say this a bunch more times, with troubles and trials today. Let this be your desire to be content with what God has you in, to focus on those things that God has already blessed you with, so that you may simply serve Him and serve others. So again, let me ask you, how do you deal with unmet expectations? How do you handle things when it does not go according to your plans? Will you trust that God is working things out for good? Are you willing to rely on the mighty hand of God? We're going to see that Joseph does that. And through that, God's going to bring him through the fire. He's going to bring him through the water. He's going to bring him through prison and slavery and being bound to set him free, not only for his sake, but for all those around him. There is the divine problems of Joseph. But secondly, there is the divine plan for Joseph. The plan did not just include Joseph, but his whole family. It did not just have a plan from God that just to set him free and to reunite him with those that he loved, but it was a much bigger plan than he could ever imagine. It was a plan that far exceeded his very imagination. But nevertheless, God will bring it to pass. Notice first the place the Lord uses to bring this plan about. The place the Lord uses. Verse 3, but he put him in the ward, in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Many people think when I'm working in God's plan, when I'm living out God's plan, that I'm going to be set free. I'm here to tell you, he was still in the prison house. He was still bound down. He was still shut up. And so we recognize that sometimes our expectations are not God's to begin with, but God is still working things out for good. It's kind of like prayer, God's plan is. Prayer will change the situation for the saint or change the saint to deal with the situation. Let me say that again. Somebody said this a long time ago. Prayer will change the situation for the saint or change the saint to deal with the situation. And so in your life today, if you're a child of God and you're truly trying to get through this, God will either change the situation in your life or change you to deal with that situation. Let me remind you, he has a plan to break Joseph out, but he needs for him to be in the right place at the right time. And he's been there for some time. If you remember in chapter 37, he is 17 years old when his brother sold him into slavery. And then if you jump to chapter 41, he's going to be 30 years when he stands before Pharaoh. And we find it's going to be about a 2-year difference between when he's let out of, when he's put in Potiphar's house till he stands before them. And so it's been 11 years since he's been in Egypt. 11 years bound down. 11 years working for somebody else. 11 years as a prisoner. And he may ask, and we may ask when we're in that situation, where is the Lord? I can tell you, he is on the throne, working things out for good. And you may ask, well, why let Joseph go through those things? Because God is developing him, God is training him, God is ordering him, in one sense, to be the man that he needs to be. And he's always been, as you look back at his life, he developed Joseph as he will with administrative skills. He dealt with the sheep and the sheep herders. He dealt with Potiphar's house and arranging things there. He dealt with the prison house and making things run well there. And so God is training him up, because we'll see in the next coming chapters that he puts him above everybody in Egypt, that he is second under Pharaoh and runs the whole country. And so God is training him at this time to be the people or the person that he needs him to be. By the way, what has God got you at right now? What situation are you in that maybe God is teaching you some necessary things in your life that you may be a blessing to others down the road? Maybe, again, it's teaching you something that you need to know, some type of skill. Maybe God is teaching you humbleness. Maybe God is teaching you patience. Maybe God is teaching you gratitude. The thing is, grow where you are planted. Be where you are to simply serve the Lord. So many people in life desire to be in some other situation that they fail to reach their full potential where they presently are. So many people have their eyes in some other place that they fail to be all they can be right where they are, where the Lord wants them, where they can do much good right now. So let me just say this. Quit belly aching and do what the Lord wants you to do. And I'm preaching to myself, amen. Where do you find yourself? The place the Lord uses in this point was the prison house. But notice, secondly, the people the Lord uses also. When you read verse 1 again, it says, "And it came to pass after these things, the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended the Lord, the king of Egypt." First, notice about these guys, these are distinguished people. The butler and the baker, that they were the one of the, like the president's cabinet, they were some of the highest people in the land. They were one trusted with feeding the king, and so one was over the drinking, one was over the eating, and so they lined things up, and then they tasted things. They made sure everything was good, and so there's going to be a dispute about some of these guys and what was going on. So we just know they were the highest in the land. Secondly, not only distinguished, but they are in the dungeon. Now, it's kind of neat to think about just not any dungeon, but when you read verse 3, "And he put them in the ward of the house, the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound." I'm telling you, there is a divine plan going on. A divine plan that used hardships and trials and tribulations. A divine plan that started way back in Genesis 37. A divine plan that worked its way through chapter 39 and now to 40. That God is lining things up that Joseph may do great things. Not just for himself, but really for the whole known world. And so we understand there's some divine appointments. Don't miss this in your life. Having troubles or trials or even blessings, recognize them as divine appointments and see what God would have you do. Well, notice the third thing. Not only were they distinguished and were in a dungeon, but they had dreams. Notice verse 5. "And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were both bound in prison." And so, it's kind of unusual. They had dreams. They didn't know what they mean. Well, if you back up in the Bible, there are many people that had dreams. Abraham dreamed dreams. Abimelech dreamed dreams. Jacob had dreams. Cornelius, Joseph, Mary. Many people had dreams. If you remember Joseph's dream in 37, he dreamed that about his sheaves and his life, that he would be elevated. I think God was encouraging him, letting him know that he had a thing that he was going to do. And so it was a neat dream. Now, again, all dreams are not from the Lord. All dreams are not special. I dream about spiders every once in a while. That has no biblical relevance. I just dream crazy stuff sometimes. But they dreamed dreams, and Joseph did, and God lined this up again by divine appointment to work this out for good. Fourthly, notice their depression, and this is where it really gets good. Their depression. Genesis 40, verse 6, "And Joseph came in them to the morning, looked upon them, behold, they were sad." Verse 7 says, "And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" Let me say this. A divine appointment in life will mean little if you only focus on yourself. The divine appointments in life will mean little if you only focus on yourself. What if Joseph would have looked at them and said, "Huh, I got enough problems by my own self. Huh, I don't have time to mess with these guys. Huh, they deserve what they get. I'm an innocent man." Let me ask you about your own life before you look at the others and write them off. Don't be that self-centered spouse that only looks at your needs. Look at your spouse. Don't be that self-centered employee that only deals with yourself and not those around you. Don't be that self-centered Christian that only focuses about your spiritual walk and not those around you. Don't let us be a self-centered church that only focuses on ours and not the world. Self-centeredness will rob you of blessings time and time and time again. But if you will follow and take this effort to engage with others, how good it is. Let me read you a lengthy passage. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. "Then shall the king say to them on the right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And then the righteous shall answer, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Let me say that again. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. We receive a great blessing, the greatest blessing that the Lord has to offer, by first honoring him and loving others. How do you do that? By giving of yourself. Luke said this, the words of Jesus, Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured to you again. I'm telling you, God wants us, as Jacob, as Joseph gave his time and attention to these guys, so the Lord desires that we do that for others. Give your time, give your talents, give your treasure to those in need, and God will bless. The Good Samaritan is that great picture of how we should help others. And in helping others, we will see ultimately how we are helped, because we can see it in Joseph's life. If Joseph says, no, thank you, I wonder what would happen in his life. You say, well, we can't impact the whole world. Worthington Springs, this is a small little place. I'm willing to bet that that prison cell was much smaller than the town of Worthington Springs. I'm willing to bet that prison area was much smaller than the place we live in. And yet we're going to find that this act of kindness touches the whole known world in Egypt and far beyond, because Joseph cared enough to say, why you look so sad today? So Joseph simply enough cares enough to get involved. Verse 8 says, And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter thereof. And Joseph said unto them, Do not the interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. He does not respond, Look at me, I'm an expert. He does not say anything like that, but just says, Interpretations belong to God. And so we recognize that God's plan uses people and circumstances to bring great things about. We need to see that and involve ourselves in the lives of others as God involves himself in us. So let me ask you, what are you failing to do because you think you can't? I'm reminded that God used the weak to do extraordinary things, that power is perfected in the weakness. Make a commitment today to serve others. Take some time today and invest in the lives of others. Recognize others in their need and get involved. You will make an impact that will last and last and last, not only for them, but for yourselves. Notice the third part of the sermon. Not just the divine problems and the divine plan, but the divine patience of Joseph. We know the story. Joseph's going to interpret the dream. And he probably thinks at that point, hey, these guys are high up. He's going to let me out. It's going to be good. But notice this idea. First, he interprets the chief butler. When you read chapter 49 through 13, he tells him the dream, and he says, well, this is what it means. In 3 days, God's going to lift you up, and you're going to go back to your old job, and it's going to be good. Don't forget me. The chief baker says, well, that was a pretty good interpretation. Here's my dream. And he says, well, let me tell you, I got some bad news. In 3 days, he's not going to lift you up, but he's going to lift your head up, and you're going to die, and it's going to be bad, and it's not going to be good at all. And so it's not a good story for us. And so all these things are going to come to pass as Joseph says. So he's interpreted the two dreams, but now notice the plea for deliverance. Going back to the first guy, he says in verse 14, But think on me when it shall be well with thee. Think on me. In other words, when you get out of here, remember me. I'm telling you, we need to recognize some things about this plea. One is because of what he's done. The plea is I have interpreted it correctly, and lo and behold, it's going to work out. He says, remember me when you get out of here. But secondly, the plea is based on what he has not done. He says, I'm an innocent man just as you are. That was the implication. And so we recognize that he needs to be set free. I want you to recognize that God's plan does not focus so much on what you deserve, but on his mercy and grace. I wonder if Joseph finally said, this is my big break. Finally, I've got a hope I'm going to get out of here. And so we understand that God's going to use not this man, but somebody else to set him free. We need to recognize that, yes, there's a plea to deliverance, and it may take a while, but God will deliver sooner or later, but not by the one you think. And so we go from the plea of deliverance to the passing of time. So we find as the good news goes out, this man has risen back to power. Joseph was probably thinking, here we go. It's just a matter of time. But verse 23 says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So if you know the story, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, months turn into 2 years when you read the rest. 2 years he has waited with no response. So let me just tell you about this. Sometimes people you helped will forget what you have done for whatever reason. Maybe the chief butler got so excited that he forgot. Maybe he got so busy in his work that he forgot. I'm not sure, it doesn't say, but he forgot. Secondly, I want you to see is that people are not your savior. The Lord is. His dad was not a savior. Potiphar was not a savior. The chief butler was not a savior. And Pharaoh will not be a savior. But the Lord truly will be. It is the one and only, the Lord Jesus, who saves us. And we should put our hope in him. And the third thing is, God has a perfect plan to do the most good in his life. And I'll say that about us. God has the perfect plan to do the most good in our life. Seems to be forgotten, but he is not. I like that passage in 2 Peter 3:8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Let me get back to us. Maybe you're here and you've been waiting a long time because you have an issue. Maybe you've been struggling for a long time to get out of something. Maybe you've been waiting a long time for the Lord to deliver. Just like Joseph, he's been waiting 2 years. But know this, if he is released, it will accomplish nothing but the release of Joseph. You said, well, that's what I thought he wanted. Probably so, but God wanted more. If he's released right then, he is set free and maybe goes back home. But God has a bigger plan. His release in 2 years will result in saving thousands and thousands and thousands of people from starving to death. His family will be saved from starvation. His family will be moved to Egypt to be given the best of the land. In his waiting on the Lord, God's plan unfurls and works out that Pharaoh calls him. Pharaoh has dreams. Joseph interprets the dreams. He is placed on the top of Egypt. And God delivers the world basically through Joseph. So what I'm saying is this, the psalmist said it better. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Where does God have you at this moment? Just keep doing what God's called you to do. Joseph could have quit, but he did not. Just keep enduring and do what God's called you to do. Joseph could have given up, but he did not. Even when people forget you, even when people turn against you, even the ups and downs of life, just stay focused. Run the race that God has put before you, and end up like the Apostle Paul saying, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Let me close with this. Somebody wrote this, trust him when dark doubts surround thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to trust him is the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him for his will is best. Trust him for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. So let me give you the invitation this morning. God always is working our lives. And God's desire that none should turn away from him. God's desire is for all to repent, to all come to faith. God's desire that he's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. And so if you're here this morning struggling in life, it may be that God's lining you up to meet the one who can solve all things, the Lord Jesus. If you're here this morning and your life is not what it should be, just know God is working behind the scenes to work things out for good if you're a believer. If you're here this morning and need some help, I'm telling you, there is one that can do all things and is willing to help us if we'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. If you're here today, don't miss that. Don't turn from that. Follow him. And in the trials of life, you'll see how you can trust the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Maybe you're here today saying, that's me. What next? That's me. I need help. Again, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Why not this morning, the best way you know how, just simply confess who you are. Confess your sins, your unrighteousness, your need for help, and your desire for the Lord to help you. And ask the Lord to save you and keep you. He surely will. The Bible says so. Maybe you're today dealing with all kinds of situations. Maybe you are a believer and you are in trouble with different things. Maybe it's at work or at home. Call on the Lord who works things out for good. Call on Him. Maybe it's prayer for somebody at this house or some other house that you need to lift up. Why not make your way to this altar and pray? Or pray where you sit at. Just know that God is here, working behind the scenes, seeing what we need, and willing to help. Why not reach out and say, Lord, help me, for He surely will. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word that gives us hope and direction. We thank You for the example of Joseph and his desire to do good. We thank You, Lord, that You're there, that's ever present, and that we just need to call upon You. And so, Lord, today, stir our hearts to be found faithful. Stir our hearts to cling to You. Stir us, Lord, to simply do what we need to do, that we may honor You in all things. Bless today and bless Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.